everyone. How are you doing? It's Brittany, and welcome to another episode of One Hot Mess. All right, y'all. So today we're going to continue reading The Inner Work. And as you know, we are still on chapter 9. So we're going to get into it. Okay, this is about grief, triggers, perceived loss, root program, resist change, transcendence, accept change. Once the stagnation of hopelessness is surrendered through the allowance of feelings and admittance of the need for help, the door will open to a higher theme of consciousness. Whereas in hopelessness, there is detachment to life, grief allows itself to feel the sadness that accompanies trauma, loss, painful consequences, or change. Grief is natural as we traverse through the transitions of life, but when it becomes habitual, it is crippling. It can make us feel regretful, depressed, and grief is attached so tightly to the external world as a sense of identity that if anything changes, it triggers a deep sense of loss of self. Grief is a downside of the ego's mindless mentality because it attaches to what is temporary. Thus, grief views all change as a perpetual state of loss and lack. It only sees what is what it loses in each moment over what it is gaining. Therefore, we feel like we are always missing out and becoming regretful of our choices. Because of this, a common expression of grief is having a terrible time dealing with transitions. The ego mind of grief projects that any change, death, or loss should not have happened and therefore resists the flow of life, sulking or regretting. Grief may express itself as feeling abandoned by others, divinity, and life itself. Because of the preoccupation with loss, grief influences us to be attached, needy, and incapable of accepting that we will be okay despite circumstances constantly changing. So while we at least care about our life, which is a major step up from hopelessness, we still only feel how we tend to always lose in life, and that life is tragic. The beliefs that reinforce grief will all have to do with attachment of ourself, of identity, to something outside of ourselves. Thus, perceived loss is not about the actual thing itself, but rather is threatening to the ego's likelihood. The common thread, therefore, will be belief in our happiness, love, and sense of self as coming from out there. This projection of value sets the ego up for inevitable loss and failure because life will always change and nothing is permanent. By attaching our sense of identity to something temporal and fleeting, we become regretful and experience the pain and the remorse of life. Triggers. Because of its overemphasis on loss, triggers for grief will arise from anything where loss is perceived, whether it be losing an inanimate object, such as a piece of favored jewelry, loss of time, loss of money or status, or a loved one dying. All things having to do with attachment, abandonment, and codependency in relationships are signs of unhealed grief. All perceptions of loss and change will bring to the surface any attachments we have to the energy field of grief and regret. Unfortunately, the loss will be attached to whatever it is we value the most: our time, people we love, money, possessions, ideal circumstances, pleasures, etc. The ego habitually in grief thinks and feels all the pain of life. How tragic. I always lose. There is so much loss in the world. Who would I be without this? Why did they abandon me? Why did they leave me? Why did it have to end? Others only want me when it's convenient for them, and then they move on. I'll never be the same. I can't believe I did that. that was a waste of money. I can't believe I broke that. And I can't believe I lost that. I shouldn't have listened to them. I missed out. Life is so sad and depressing. People always abandon me. Those poor people, what a sad situation. They lost so much. Okay, transcendence. To transcend grief, we must face our fears of loss through accepting the inevitability of change and stepping into the fear of the unknown. All humanity experiences loss eventually. Nothing is permanent. All things shall pass. No one is immune. Instead of getting stuck in grief, invite yourself to see the constant change of life. It actually adds richness, gratitude, and profound awe for all that is temporal. The depth of significance, meaning, and preciousness of life is elevated through honoring the fleeting nature of all things, not diminished. When we expect change, we don't take life for granted and cherish it. Every moment is a sacred gift that we are not entitled to and is filled with far more passion and presence. Instead of seeing all that we lose in each moment, we instead affirm all that we are also gaining in each new moment. For if things never cease to leave, it also means life never ceased to give. Thus, we can let go knowing it all comes back around. Life keeps flowing. Nothing is permanent, including grief. All things have a season. Death and change are a natural part of the cycle of life. When we allow grief to change, to flow through us without attachment, we fully experience what it is and what it means to be human, care for others, and appreciate the preciousness of life. The next level of transcendence is to release attachment to the external world as the source of our happiness and love, the love and joy we experience through people, places, and situations are actually coming from within us. The external world is just providing us an opportunity to express it. The perception of the loss itself is the actual limitation and source of suffering. In truth, no loss is possible. Ultimately, the fear we must face is the unknown of what life would be like without our grief and regret. New narrative. This too shall pass, the good and the bad. I am grateful for every moment I get to enjoy. I take nothing for granted. Life is a gift. I am entitled to nothing. People, places, and experiences will come and go. I allow people the freedom to come in and out of my life and honor the precious time we have together. People are allowed to change their mind. I allow life to flow through me. Everything changes. Things change for reasons I may never understand, but I trust in the goodness of life. I am excited for the transitions that come into my life. I look forward to change with optimism. I am grateful. No one can give me love. Love is within me. I am not afraid to be alone. All right. Now we're moving on to fear. Triggers, the unknown, root program. What if it goes wrong? Transcendence, what if it goes right? To transcend grief, we make peace with pain and loss and accept that life is always going to change. However, this then brings up fear of the unknown. The fear of an imaginary negative future becomes the new obsession of the mind. Anything can happen suddenly that is out of our control, and life could drastically change at any moment. Accepting this drives the ego mind to become paralyzed with fear. Try to outsmart and avoid fear or become overly interested in testing the limits of fear. Thus, the energy of fear pushes the ego to be overly concerned with survival, competition, enemies, and security. It is worth noting that fear will actually feel like a source of energy and motivation in comparison to the previous themes, such as shame or hopelessness. On the other hand, fear is the fight or flight response to survive. and the adrenaline that gets released from it is incredibly stimulating in comparison to the depression of grief or hopelessness. Fear is motivated to escape or contend with its perceived threat to avoid pain or loss. Grief accepts and dwells on loss, while now fear has the energy to try to escape it and survive. The theme of consciousness feels more energized and invested in life than the previous themes. For example, you have to be invested in life to be afraid of losing it. Therefore, while fear is still a negative theme overall in relation to the previous themes, this will feel empowering and invigorating to survive and test the limits. The beliefs of fear come from perceiving endless external enemies in the form of something or someone trying to take from it. Yet all enemies are projections of the mind's fear as the enemy. The ego mind of fear is extremely protective, defensive, and insecure. Its core beliefs are rooted in seeking security and the illusory promise of safety from loss in order to attain that safety. It believes being anxious, paranoid, and doubtful will help. In its mild expression, it comes out in the form of social anxiety, fear of being rejected, fear of failure, fear of loss, fear of getting sick, fear of injury, and fear of death. As an overcompensation to the fear of survival, we may overly expose ourselves to things that evoke fear, such as constantly watching frightening movies, being a daredevil, a survivalist, or a thrill seeker, always tempting death, the ultimate fear. The adrenaline of fear can become highly addictive, and as it is continuously experienced, the brain becomes desensitized, thus pushing us back to seek more dangerous and scary experiences to get the same rush. Triggers. Fear is triggered by the unexpected and fantasies of a dreadful future that may never occur. While grief is obsessed with regret, the past, and what it lost, fear is now obsessed with what it could lose. Therefore, fear swings to the other side of the spectrum, living in hypothetical fantasies of a fearful future. Fear is also triggered by anything that sparks paranoia, such as the latest disease scare on the news, or stories of murder, promoting mistrust of other people. Accompanying thoughts of fear are things like, what if blank happens? What if it goes horribly wrong? What if I get hurt or die? What if it doesn't work? What if they don't like me? What if I fail? What if I can't do it? What if they screw me over? This is dangerous. I'm probably going to get hurt. They are going to hurt me. He's lying. I can't trust her. People are out to get me. They want me to fail. What if I can't make it? They have ulterior motives. I might get sick. This is scary. I'm so worried about blank. Transcendence. While fear expressed as caution, rational planning for the future, and respect for danger is healthy and keeps us alive, fear is a habitual life view. It will leave us constantly anxious about a negative future that may not ever exist. Thus, to transcend an over-attachment to fear, we must focus on motivating our actions through a desire for a brighter future rather than out of fear of a negative one. This transition is made possible by accepting humbly that the mind does not and nor can ever know what the actual future holds. Therefore, all projections of a fearful fate are always only a fabrication of the mind. The present moment is all that actually exists, and fear can only exist in the mind projecting to an imaginary future. Thus, both the grief over the past and the fear of the future are illusions of the mind, projecting outside of the new moment, the now moment, the only moment there ever is. Fear is let go of by exploring the possibility that the future could, in fact, also bring desirable experiences too. The mind of fear is so stuck on only thinking about what could go wrong that it forgets to also ask, what if it goes right? Therefore, we move past fear, admitting humbly that we don't know what the future will hold, but we are open to exploring our desires for something better. New narrative. Anything is possible. The mind cannot know the future. What if it goes right? What if it all works out? What if they love me? What if I can do it? What if it's even better than I imagined? What if I can trust them? What if people do support me? I am open to the goodness coming to me. It could work out. I face my fears with courage. I am optimistic. I could get what I want. The future does not exist except for in my mind. I set myself free from the fearful stories in my mind. Fear is an illusion of the mind. I have access to all solutions and answers. I will know what to do in every moment. I will be guided. I will always be safe. I will always be protected. There is nothing to fear except fear itself. All right, now we are at desire. Triggers, perceived gain, root program, I want, I need, transcendence, anger for change. As we open ourselves to the possibility that the future could also hold pleasurable experiences and not only fearful ones, we become even more invested in life and start to want. Thus, our energy, self-esteem, and engagement in life are drastically invigorated in this theme compared to the previous ones. Seeking pleasurable experiences in the form of desire can feel incredibly rewarding and satisfying to someone who started in shame and once felt powerless. The energy of desire can be productive in the form of drive and motivation to create a better life for ourselves. However, when it gets overemphasized, it will become counterproductive in the form of greed, craving, and addiction. Similar to grief, the major blockages of desire come from placing our happiness outside ourselves by projecting our love and joy onto the objects we are desiring. While the previous themes were the preoccupation with loss, now the emphasis shifts to a focus on gain. Thus, desire can become obsessive, lustful, and when the obsession with the desire leads to lack of control over ourselves, desire becomes enslaving. To know if our ego has become attached and addicted to a particular desire, take the object of desire away and see what comes up. If we are free, we will remain at peace. If not, we will either resort to a previous theme, such as grief and depression, or summon even more energy in the form of anger to force the object of desire back into our lives. Another indicator is that when the object of desire is blocked or taken away, the addict will go about their entire day, week, or month not being present with what is happening now, but instead will be fantasizing about the next time they can get a hit, such as sex or porn, drugs, alcohol, shopping, food, gambling, video games, etc. When we allow excessive desire to make our decisions, such as greed and seeking gain at the expense of others, we inevitably bring only suffering for ourselves. Unchecked desire can even be a detriment to the community at large. Think of all of the kings and wars throughout history. all fighting to please the desire for more, more power, more money, more territory, more status and fame. It also demonstrates itself as the reckless, business that seek profit above all else, even at the expense of destroying the planet and hurting others. Unchecked desire is cancer, death by overconsumption, overpopulation, overpollution, extreme excess until the point of its own self-destruction. Desire becomes enslaving by creating the belief that we are lacking until we fill the void of our desire, by projecting our security, love, and joy externally onto the object of our affection, we simultaneously give away our power and freedom, shackling ourselves to the object. Desire can never get enough or actually be satisfied and content. Therefore, it cannot know true peace and security. Desire will always be chasing the horizon. If we place our happiness in desire, our happiness will always be one more thing away, one more accomplishment, one more dollar, one more milestone, one more sexual conquest, one more something. Our security and sense of empowerment will forever elude us, always feeling like there is a hole and a lack. This is the source of its suffering. The craving of addiction is coming from a deeper place of feeling incomplete, unloved, and out of favor. Thus, the porn addict seeks to be desirable and wanted. The gambler seeks to be lucky and be favored. The alcoholic seeks to be carefree and beyond worries. All of these qualities are actually of the true self, but desire projects these qualities as coming from the external object, thus becoming indebted to it. Through doing our inner work, it is possible to enjoy feeling appreciated, complete, loved, favored, and carefree without needing the object of desire. Thus, in its healthy form, desire can be used to motivate the next stage in our evolution of consciousness by wanting more for ourselves, for wanting true freedom and lasting happiness. Triggers. Anything that causes us to seek gain and fulfillment outside of ourselves will trigger the frequency of desire. This attachment can range from a mild expression of attention seeking or wanting more money, all the way to extreme addictions to pleasure. Common triggers will include things like status seeking, lust, jealousy, pleasure of drugs and alcohol, wanting to be rich, obsessing about being famous, obsession with success, or materialism, or infatuation with being admired and acknowledged. Accompanying thoughts of desire may sound like, I have to have it. I won't be satisfied until I get blank. I want it. I need it. I want more. I need more. I wish I had blank. I want what they have. I never have enough. How can I get more? Is he or she looking at me? Oh, that's attractive. I want it. I want to be sexy. I want to be popular. I want to be better. I can't wait until blank. Give it to me now. How can I make this even more pleasurable? Transcendence. To transcend desire, we must recognize its never content nature and its misunderstanding of how to access happiness. By placing our happiness onto the object of affection, desire infatuates us to completely overlook the fact that everything we are seeking is actually internal, to feel whole and complete. Attachment to desire misses out on the now and is never grateful for what it already does have and how far it has already come. It only sees what is next and what is more desirable. Notice that soon after achieving a desire, it is quickly replaced with yet another one, and the chase begins all over again. In the moment of finally getting that high, that drink, that sex, that purchase, that fame, that job, that money, that whatever it may be, the elation eventually fades, and we are left unsatisfied again. Thus, no desire is found to ever actually bring lasting satisfaction or fill the void we feel inside. The mind will always convince us that maybe the next time will be different and crave more and better. Seeking happiness through objects of desire will inevitably leave us empty-handed because we ultimately misunderstand the fundamental true nature of happiness. Happiness is a state of being that we access when we choose to fully embrace, appreciate, and enjoy our lives without resistance. Gratitude for the present moment is the quickest way to move out of attachment to desire and into the fulfillment of happiness. Gratitude has nowhere else to be. It sees all that is good and supportive right now. This affirmation of the present moment goes beyond desire's preoccupation with some magical future that will finally promise happiness and contentment. In its constructive form, desire must be seen as a useful energy to motivate action, enjoy fun experiences, and set goals. To release attachment to the desire for betterment and achievement, we must release attachment to the outcome of our efforts. It really doesn't matter whether or not the desire comes to fruition, because expressing our creativity and effort is the actual reward and fulfillment. We are always whole and complete, the entire experience, not just the end. There is nowhere actually to get. Desire is an ever-moving horizon. There is no actual destination that will finally guarantee happiness and fulfillment. It has to be found within, right now. To see the real root of desire, it may be useful to ask, and then what? What would I desire next? What am I trying to get? Where am I trying to go? The answer to all these questions will always give this to us though, because they are internal states not created from the external world. Thus, desire wastes our time chasing something that we will never obtain. Realizing this, we may become angry for change and freedom from our enslavement to pleasure seeking. New narrative. I am already whole and complete. Thank you, Creator, for this gift of life. Thank you for all that I do have. Thank you for this glorious journey that is my life. I give full effort and release attachment to the outcome. This moment is already filled with abundance of appreciation if I have the eyes to see it. I already have everything I need. I accept that all is perfect and as it should be. I am loved. I am secure. I need nothing. I am content. I am at peace. I am fulfilled. My connection to love and happiness cannot be taken from me, nor will they be found in something outside of me. My power is within me. Nothing is lacking. I am free of attachment to my desires. This moment, now, is all there is. I am present. I am fully satisfied. I am grateful for everything and everyone in my life. I see everything I do have. I focus on what is now. All right, y'all. So I think we're going to stop there. Okay. And the next time we read, we still have to cover anger. And it's just two more, I think, anger and pride. And then we will, arrive at chapter 10, which is accepting our destiny. All right, y'all. That is it for today. Thank you so, so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Please make sure to hit that follow button and also share One Hot Mess with a friend. And I'll talk to you guys next time. Have an amazing day.